It was a real dilemma for me this week determining where to go for this today's message. And I've had situations like this before where I start working on one. I just feel like this is the one. And I get maybe two pages done. And then I just, this isn't it. And so then I went to something else that I felt led to. And I started working on it. First time I've ever done it three times. And so what you're getting here is either the third strike or the third time's the charm. Not sure which one it'll be. But before I start, though, I want to give you the two primary scriptures for the two that I left behind. One of them Carolyn read to you just a moment ago from Romans 13, 1, which says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." And that's a verse that we often use when our candidate wins office and we want everyone else to support him, you know. We don't like that verse so much when our candidate doesn't win, but it's still just as true. I really hope that all of us can absorb that and understand it, that every authority could not have been there if not for God. And I know that that raises all kinds of questions because, we don't like that verse so much, but in the election this past week, almost everyone was surprised by the outcome. But I want you to know this. God was not. He was not surprised. He is not surprised. And, he wasn't surprised back in 1860 when a relatively unknown guy with a kind of a funny look and in a country that was divided not just two ways, but four ways at that time, we had four candidates running for president in 1860. And God was not surprised when Abraham Lincoln won. God knew that he was the right man for the right time. But equally, God was not surprised when a maniac by the name of Adolf Hitler was elected by popular vote to lead the German Republic in 1933. It's hard for us to believe that Romans 13:1 applies equally to Adolf Hitler and Abraham Lincoln. Now, I want to make it clear, when it says that we have to be subject to the governing authorities, the primary governing authority is and always will be God, and we're not to go against God in the things that we do, the things that we personally take part in, but still, Hitler was used, and you've heard me say this before. The creation of Israel came in 1947-48, at least, I think largely because of the evil that Adolf Hitler did. So my point again is, authorities, and it says, it's not me saying it, it's scripture, authorities are appointed by God. And so I hope we can all, I think we've clung to that in the past, and I hope we can cling to that in the future. I posted that a few years back, and boy, I lost a lot of friends because I put that on Facebook. Because, well, I'm not supporting this guy. Well, not me that's saying it. Ron Smith said this the other day, and it's one of my favorite new quotes, all right? You can argue with the pastor, but you can't argue with the word. And that's the word, folks. The other one that you almost got came from 1 Samuel 26:10, which we just went through on Wednesday night Bible study not too long ago. And I didn't prepare the guys back there for it, 1 Samuel 26:10. And here's what it says in part. David said, furthermore, "As the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish." And what David was talking about here was King Saul, who had been trying to kill David for a long time, and David had a second opportunity to kill Saul, but he refused because he was saying here that God is in control of who is and who is not king. And a king's time to rule is determined by God, not by David, not by you and I necessarily. Well, in both cases, I guess I thought I was supposed to talk about the election, and I began both of them on Monday prior to the election, so I thought either one of those are going to apply equally to no matter what the outcome. But then again, I got to thinking about Veterans Day and all the hoopla that was going on last week at this time. It kind of got lost in the process. And as I've said so many times, I don't always feel led to prepare a message that's geared toward a holiday. But anyway, today's message has to do with the military. It really has less to do with the Army, the Navy, the Marines, all those kinds of things than it does with the jobs that you and I have as Christians. I believe this in my heart, that serving in the military is one of the most noble things that anyone can do. And I thank God, as I've already said, for those who are serving or those who have served. And our prayers should continue to be with those who are serving in whatever capacity. I've been known to pray this, that God would not allow any conflicts that would put our loved ones in harm's way. I can't imagine having been a parent during World War II when almost everybody who was able-bodied was in the war. And in those days, you didn't hear from people for quite a long time. You didn't have instant communication. My dad was wounded on December the 6th of 1944, and my grandparents didn't hear about it till March. And all they got was, your son's been wounded. They didn't know if he was badly wounded. They didn't know. It took a long time for people to find those kinds of things out. Well, anyway, the Army that we're going to be looking at today involves risks, but nothing like serving in the military. It's an entirely different set of risks. And we're going to be looking today at 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's Word. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 5. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will also be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. This, of course, comes from Paul's letter to his young friend Timothy. And my Bible says that the purpose of this second letter, 2 Timothy, was to encourage Timothy in the face of opposition. And Timothy is told, and I believe you and I are told also, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, grace has been defined from this place, I know many, many times, but I think we can always use a reminder. Grace is unmerited favor, getting something that we haven't earned, something we don't deserve. None of us can earn salvation. And I got to tell you that last week I went home and fretted and stewed, as I often do, because I thought maybe the one thing that anybody's going to remember from that message was whenever I quoted Saving Private Ryan, saying, earn this. And I, again, want to make it clear to everybody who was here that you can't earn your salvation. In fact, you can't earn your blessings. What have we done to deserve what God's blessed us with? But what I was trying to get across was, because we've been blessed, do something. Find your purpose and do it. So if you misunderstood that at any point, or if anybody else that you know misunderstood that, I hope that that's clarified it. But it's only through God's grace that we can ever attain to the righteousness of Christ. And since he offers us this grace, that's where we find our strength. And it's not something that we've earned because we're good enough. In fact, it's quite the contrary, honestly. Verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. On my 18th birthday, I came to Bethany, went to the basement of the post office here in Bethany to register for the draft. At that time, everybody who turned 18 was eligible for the draft. And at that time, anybody who was eligible for the draft was eligible for Vietnam. It just happened that the draft ended the very following year for me before I would have been drafted. But the point I wanted to make is they forced people to go into the Army. They've done that many times during our country's history. And when I talk about volunteering, a lot of times you didn't have an option. But in that particular time period, you got drafted, whether you chose to go or not. In the modern military, the United States operates completely today on a voluntary army, a voluntary military. Likewise, church, we operate on a strictly voluntary basis. Nobody in this church is going to be forced to go into the service of the Lord. All of you ought to go into the service of the Lord, but we're not going to force you. I really believe that Jesus himself, who is in this very room, compels us to serve. Paul's instruction to Timothy here was to take what he had learned from Paul, and then teach it to others, who would then be able to teach it to others. And it goes on and on. I believe that Evan and I are called to preach the Word of God to you. For what purpose? Well, not so you can rate the week's sermon and determine whether that was a good one or a bad one. That's not why. So that you, as faithful men and women in the army of the Lord, can carry that same message to others who will in turn teach others. And honestly, that's one of the highest callings of the church, is to share the word with others. Last week was just, I just don't know if I can ever fully comprehend what all happened last week. It was incredible. It was so wonderful in so many ways. The big crowd and the baptisms and the very visible and tangible miracle that we've been privileged to witness. But there's a downside. If anybody can find a dark lining in the silver cloud, I usually can. But there's a downside to it, and here it is. The bar has been set so incredibly high that we wonder if we could ever reach that pinnacle again. And I'm not talking about the numbers. I'm talking about the way that each and every one of us felt that day. That we felt the movement of the Holy Spirit, and we felt the tangible presence of Jesus being in this very room. So last week was possibly a once-in-a-lifetime event, but it doesn't have to be. Why did we have such a big crowd? Three reasons, really. Specific events that we felt compelled to encourage other people to come for. We had a 60th anniversary, which is still ongoing, all right? Praise God. We had the baptisms, which people came for. We had, of course, Dylan, which so many people came to support him. But, you know, they didn't know necessarily without being told any of these events. Somebody had to tell them. So the specific events that we encourage people to come for, I really believe special things happen here every week. And we ought to be doing that very same thing to encourage people to come every single week. Paul taught Timothy, and then he encouraged him to share what he'd learned with others, to teach them, to share with others themselves. And many of us, I know, went to great lengths to get a lot of those folks here last Sunday. We invited, we messaged, we texted, we dangled a fellowship lunch in front of them, you know. And somebody pointed out that we're going to have three fellowship lunches or suppers here in 1 month. Praise God. If that's what it takes, go for it. I know you ladies are probably cringing at the thought of that. But anyway, all of those efforts worked. What if we sent out recruiters every week? What if people truly came to church and left church then with the idea, I want to share what I got? And that in that way we become recruiters. Now, I can do that, but if I do it alone, I'm going to reach a few. But if I can enlist you to enlist others, instead of adding one or two, we could multiply by fives and by tens and by hundreds, just like we heard in our revival messages. I have avoided social media after the election, but still managed to see this. My friends are divided into two camps. Well, probably three. Those who don't say anything, which I'm trying to be that. But the two camps. I told you so, and the world has come to an end. I see those two things. And I want to say this. If the results had been flipped, they would have flipped. The world has come to an end. People would say, I told you so, and the I told you so's would say the world's come to an end. And you know what? We've been through this before. I've been watching every election since I was able to watch an election, and there have been times when I thought, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And other times when I was celebrating. And you know what happened in all those times that I thought, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We got through it. God does not change, regardless of who lives in that house on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Well, But I am struck by this, however. Many of us are beyond eager to share our thoughts and our opinions about an election that will determine the leader for the next 4 years. But we're very silent about eternity. And I'm guilty. I'm as guilty, if not more guilty, than anybody else. But I am convicted to think how quickly we get about the business of sharing who won the World Series, or who won the election, or how big our deer was, or how little our deer was, or whatever else. We share these things that are temporary, but we don't share about what's going to affect eternity for some people. Why is that? Because we see the hardship that comes from serving the Lord as not being worth it. While expressing our other opinions, why we're going to do that? Well, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Therefore, and that word therefore, of course, always refers back to what's already been said. Therefore, because of the strength that comes through the grace of Jesus, because we are called to enlist and recruit fellow believers, we must endure hardship. Must. Not very many of us are going to be physically harmed because of our testimony. But it does take time out of our busy schedules, or it might make us feel uncomfortable. It might even make us unpopular. It might make somebody unfriend you. But listen to the primary message here. If we are good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we must endure hardship. I'm not trying to be judgmental here, but that's what the Word says. And if we're not enduring hardship, not because of our other opinions, but hardship because of our stand for Christ, we have to wonder, are we really good believers? Are we really good soldiers if we're not enduring any hardship? And please believe me, I don't claim to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. I doubt that I'd even be a private first class. I'd just be whatever else is below that. But I strive to be a better soldier for Him. How can we be a better soldier for Christ? It came up this week from someone that asked, how do you go about sharing the gospel? Do we just go up and say, let me tell you about Jesus? Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. But it doesn't have to be that much in your face necessarily. But what we do is we look for opportunities. Somebody in your circle of friends or family is having a bad day. Okay? There's an opportunity. Well, here's how I handle it when I'm having a bad day. I pray. I read Scripture. I try to fellowship with other Christians. Maybe somebody asks your advice for something, and people do that, don't they? They ask because you all have different areas of expertise. Well, the first thing I do is pray. The first thing I do is seek God's guidance, and you've opened a door there in order to share. I used to pray this out loud in front of people. God, give me opportunities. My goodness, every day there are opportunities, God said to me. I give them to you, but you don't take them. And that's what we've got to do. We are surrounded by opportunities all the time. Ask God's guidance and use them. Verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Well, still using the analogy, I guess, of an actual soldier, we're told that anybody who's preoccupied with warfare would not entangle himself in the affairs of this life. Now, again, I've never been a soldier, so I can't necessarily identify with that, but I've heard a soldier talk a lot in my home, Dad. And I can almost guarantee you that whenever they were in the midst of fighting the Battle of the Hurtgen Forest with cold everywhere and soldiers trying to kill you, I'm really pretty sure he wasn't worried about what was going on Main Street Ridgeway back home. He was not entangling himself with the affairs of this world. And it was hard for me to even read that, because I entangle myself with the affairs of this life altogether too much. And I'm so convicted by that. How many hours did I spend last summer watching baseball? I can't even begin to estimate, because those games are 3, 4, 5 hours long, and I watched most of them. How many hours did I spend on the computer, on social media? How many hours did I spend watching the news? And by comparison, how much time did I spend in His Word in prayer? There's no comparison. I have entangled myself. And that word is not an accident. Think about being entangled, wrapped up in barbed wire or something like that. I've entangled myself in the affairs of this life to the expense of not doing what God's called me to do. Well, in order to be a good soldier, we must not entangle ourselves. The other side of that coin is, what if we don't want to be a good soldier? What if we're perfectly content being what we are? And I want to say this, if you are a believer, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are already enlisted in the Lord's army. You have been enlisted since that first moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior. And if you choose not to be a good soldier of Christ, it's not to me that you're going to have to answer. Each and every one of us should strive to be a better soldier than we are. Now, we're told that the way to do this, again, is to unentangle ourselves from the affairs of this life. Put Christ and His work first, today and always. I don't know why I'm so often led to message titles that have to do with a song of some sort. And I don't know if anybody's been kind of going through the I'm in the Lord's army thing, you know, and everybody under the age of 40 is like, what? But, you know, we used to sing that in Bible school and in Sunday school. I may never march in the infantry or ride in the cavalry. See, I got to sing it to make it right. But anyway, but I'm in the Lord's army is what that little song says. And I remember as kids, watching kids, they used to get so excited because that's one of the few that they actually got to do things like that. But the point is, we may never be called to do certain things, but if you're a believer, you're in the Lord's army. You're there. Might as well make the best of it. Verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, our society places incredible stock in professional athletes. They are our heroes in a lot of different ways. And they're paid ridiculous salaries to play a game. And I'm not saying that they don't work at it. You know, if you watch baseball at all, you know they get like 2 days off all year. They don't get much time. They work. But even our heroes have to abide by the rules. And we've seen athletes who've lost their awards and they're banned from competition because they doped or they gambled or they abused wives or girlfriends, things like that. On local levels, kids, athletes got to keep their grades up. They have to practice. They have to obey the rules. And if they don't, ideally, talent doesn't matter. You got to go by the rules. What are our rules for competing, if you will, on the Lord's athletic field? We've already talked about the army. Well, we too have to go by the rules. Athletes have training rules to follow and then the rules of the game itself. I believe that we as Christians have training rules to follow. Study the Word, pray, grow. Don't stay where you are. You've got to grow. When I was going reviewing this morning, I couldn't remember why I put this verse in here, but I'm going to read it because I did. Romans 14:1 says this, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes about doubtful things." That's why I did it. Receive one who is weak in the faith. Talk to somebody who needs to grow, and you can help them, but don't dispute about doubtful things. And what are doubtful things? Everything else outside of the gospel is a doubtful thing. Don't argue about politics. Don't argue about your team. Don't argue about the weather. Don't argue about doubtful things, because all of those things will pass away. But eternity never passes away. I didn't include verse 7 in the message, but I want to address it here. Paul finished this thought by saying in verse 7, "Consider what I say." Paul speaking to Timothy, I believe speaking to us, "and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Think about what you hear from God's word and pray for God to give you understanding, for the Holy Spirit to bring understanding to you. I encourage you to go back through all of this passage to consider what has been said. Consider what I say. The things that you've been taught, teach them to others. That's the first thing from today's message. Endure hardship. Avoid entanglement in the affairs of this world. And may the Lord give you understanding. Compete by the rules. If you are a believer, you should be a recruiter in the Lord's army. Today, you too can be a part of the Lord's army if you're not a believer. And all it takes, and I don't ever want to make it sound like, well, it's so easy, but it is easy. Jesus did the work for us. And all he asks us to do is to admit that we're a sinner, believe that Jesus is the only way to have that sin forgiven and removed, and then confess your belief before men. And again, I don't want it to sound like, well, all you got to do is snap your fingers, but you do have to sincerely believe these things. Jesus has already paid the price. He's already gone through the training. All he asks us to do is to join him in the Lord's army. I pray that if there's anyone here today who needs to do that, that they do it today. But I also want to pray for the rest of us. You're a recruiter. Get out and recruit. Start doing the work that God's called us to do. Unentangle yourself. Unentangle myself from the affairs of this world. And concentrate on being a part of the Lord's army. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you so much, Lord, for the word today. I thank you for the nation that you have truly blessed us to live in. And I just pray, God, that we would recognize the most important thing we've got to do on a daily basis is not convince others that we're right about anything except Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray for passion on the part of each and every one of us that are believers to be a recruiter, to share what we know about Jesus, and to have passion, Lord, that exceeds our passion for anything else on this earth. Help us, Lord, to be who you'd have us to be. Help us to follow your lead. Help us to be good soldiers in the Lord's army. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.